Tonight I'm interested in 2 Corinthians 8, and I'm going to pick up our reading in the first part of the chapter and read down to verse 5. The Bible said, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they are willing of themselves." Boy, that's a good phrase to underline in your Bible and keep fresh in your mind about these people. "They were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." Preaching about being aware of the will of God. Being aware of the will of God. He said in verse 5, I know what Paul is talking about in these verses. He is talking about the financial communication that was going on between him and the saints of God and how they gave liberally to try to help. They were in poverty, but in the midst of their poverty, they abounded together as a group to try to be a blessing and a help to these. In these verses, are you listening to me? They were willing to give beyond their means. They were willing to give above their ability to help. But it goes far beyond that. In verse 5, the Apostle Paul said, "And this they did not as we hoped." He said, what we were hoping for, what we were desiring that they would do, he said, they went far beyond that. We were just needing some help to get from point A to point B that we might spread the gospel and sustain the needs that we have. He says, but they gave of their own selves to the Lord first. And I'm saying to you tonight that it is the will of God for you to give him your life. Have you done that? We sang tonight and our hearts are... I guess, jubilant at the same time, overwhelmed with the love of God when they sang tonight, his life for mine, his life for mine. How could it ever be? I mean that Christ Jesus would go to the cross and die for a wretched sinner as I, would rescue me from the damnation of hell and sin's judgment. Why would he go to Calvary for me? As Jacqueline testified tonight, if I would have rejected him, if I'd have went to the world, if I'd have walked out on God when he dealt with my heart, he would never have undone what he did at Calvary, for he still loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. His life for mine, I stand amazed. His life for mine, I am overwhelmed. His life for mine, I am astounded at the goodness of God. But what about your life for his? What about giving of your own selves to the Lord? You'd be amazed in this building tonight. The people that are saved by the grace of God, who have never come to a place in their life where they have totally let go and committed their life to the Lord. You'll be amazed at the people that are under the sound of my voice tonight that have never taken the hands off of their life and totally give themselves to Jesus. As we was riding down the road, Angela was talking about the Lord doing a work in Joshua's heart at camp meeting a number of years ago. And here's what she said. She said, I don't know what happened. I don't know if he got saved. I don't know what took place. But she said, since that day, our home, our family, everything about the makeup of our home has been different. We went to church. We served God. We don't have all those problems, amen, that as far as having a love for God. But there was a thirst and a hunger in my husband for the Lord is basically what she's saying. And he gave his life to God, unreserved, and gave in a yielded way, in a submitted way, his life to God. And our family, our home has been different ever since. Have you ever given your own self to the Lord? What does that mean, preacher? It means that he will have your physical life. It means what you do with this body will revolve around an awareness and a desire of doing the will of God. Are you listening to me? It means that what you do with your physical man will be important to you, that God is pleased with it. Are you listening? That God is honored with what I do with my physical body. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own. You have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Have you gave your body to the Lord? I read about that from Romans 12. You've heard it read. You can all quote it tonight. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, and on and on and on. We could quote those verses, but have you gave your life to God? Have you gave your life unto the Lord? That's the will of God tonight. Have you gave your life to the Lord? Your physical life, has it been given to God? I'm talking about this body. Have you given your physical body to the Lord? I'll tell you what, you that are not married, you know what that'll do? You know what that'll do, John? When you give your life to God, that will determine who you're going to marry. Amen. Instead of John determining who he's going to marry. That's what that means. It's going to determine how you comb your hair. When you give your life to God. Is everybody listening to me? When you give your life to God, it's going to determine, amen, how you dress and how you handle yourself. It's going to determine what comes out of your mouth in the way of verbiage. It's going to determine where you go with your body, the places that you take yourself, and the people, amen, that you allow to influence your life. When you give your life to God and you give your body to the Lord, I'm telling you, it's going to determine a lot of things about what you do with who you are. Well, preacher, now I'm time out. I just give my soul. I just want to go to heaven by the skin of my teeth. Amen. I want my soul to be saved. I don't want to go to hell when I die. And so I want to go through this little old, you know, now and lay me down to sleep, prayer of repentance, and ask the Lord to save me, and that's the end of it for me. I want to go about my own life, do my own thing, go my own way. Amen. Be around who I want to be around and live my own life. I'm tired of people telling me what to do. I don't want folks ruling over me. I just want to do my own thing. That's the religious world we live in. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. It is the will of God, Bradley Cole, for you to give God your life, your physical life. And I'm going to tell you what I've done as a young man. I gave my physical body to the world. All of my elementary years, Johnny, all my elementary years, I give my life, my body, my mind, my body. I gave it, Miss Crystal, to the world. I'm ashamed of that, but that's what I done. my junior high life. You know what I done, Brother Jim? I gave my life. I gave my body to the world. My high school days, I went to church. I was in an independent Baptist church. That's all I've ever been attended. And I gave my body, Joseph, to the world. I mean, I would have completely wrecked my body, and I endure the pains today of the abusing of my body when I was young, giving my body to the world. You listening? It's with sports, with flesh, with fitting in, whatever the case may be. I gave my body to the world. But there come a day after I was married, and our oldest child was just a baby we were carrying around, that I came to a place in my life. I was saved, know that God had done a work in my heart, but I'm telling you, there was a day when I gave my life to Jesus, and I gave my life to God, and I said, Lord, I don't care what you want me to do, where you want me to go, I want to give my life to thee. I want to give my life. I've wasted so much of my strength. I've wasted so much time, and I'm sorry, but I want to give you my life. That's why I'm in such a hurry. Amen. That's why my patience seems to be thin with some of you sometimes. When I ask you to do something and it doesn't get done, or I say, you know, this is a problem, can you fix it, and it doesn't get fixed, and you know, I get a little antsy, and you feel like, well, the preacher's upset because I didn't get this done or that done, or you know, I waited an extra day. Hey, I'm running out of time. I've wasted a lot of time, and I don't have much left. I don't want to serve God with what I've got left. Amen. Are you listening to me? I never was late for football practice. And if I needed to stay late, amen, to make the team, I stayed late to make the team. Are you listening? I did everything within my power and within my strength, amen, to do my best and to excel when I was a part of something. And I wasted a lot of time and a lot of effort on the world. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. If you give your own selves to the Lord, you'll give him your physical life. Are you listening? I mean, he's not asking you right now. God's not asking you to abuse yourself, but that's what the world does. I tell you what I wish you could do. I wish some of you boys could see a professional halfback after he's been kicked off the team after about, what's the life of one? 3-5 years maybe now for a tailback in the NFL. Is it about 5 years, Kevin? Probably about 3 years is his lifespan in the NFL. I'd like for you to see him get up out of the bed in the mornings. You ought to take a look at him when he's crawling on his hands and knees trying to get to the bathroom, where he's been busted up and broke up and beat up. And I'm telling you, he done that, and he give his body for 3 years of glory. That's all, Brother Matthew, 3 years, Joshua, of glory. 3 years to run a ball and to make a little money. And now he crawls around in pain every day of his life because the devil and the world has abused him. And the Lord says, give me your life. Give me your life. And yes, there have been men that have martyred who have given their life. But they left out of here, they wasn't crawling in pain, but they were rejoicing in the fact, amen, that they were counted worthy to suffer for his name. They rejoiced in the fact that they were counted worthy, amen, to suffer affliction for the cause of the gospel. Would somebody, some young lady, some young man, give him their life? Well, I want you to understand what that means before you make that kind of commitment, Willie. It means that you give him your physical life. God wants your body. He's just not interested in your soul. He's just not interested in your spiritual man. He's interested in your body. Because it's your body that's going to carry the gospel to the lost. It's your body that's going to reach out and hand the gospel tract. It's your body that's going to fulfill those things. When you give God your life, they gave their own selves to the Lord. They gave their mental life to Him. What are you thinking about? I'm going to tell you something. I fight mental battles. Do you? Do you fight mental battles, boys? I fight mental battles. Ladies, I fight them. Every day of my life, I fight mental battles. Amen. I'm talking about battles in the mind where I have fed the flesh and fed my mind on the flesh in those years when my life was not committed to Christ. And I realized that the world has changed drastically, and everything that is in this world is designed to distort and to twist and to rest your mind and to get it thoughts. I mean, you go into a Christian bookstore. I'm not talking about some kind of worldly bookstore that sells filth. You'd be amazed at what I got in the mail and what the title of the book and the seminar that they're going to be putting on in the Owensboro area in this upcoming month. In a church, a Baptist church. This world is eat up with sensuality. Amen. You can walk down the aisle of Christian bookstores and look at the titles on the books. Is that not right, Miss Rebecca? We saw them. Talks about constantly this book after book after book involving intimate relationships that a man has with his wife. And I'm telling you, some of that stuff is nothing but a bunch of filth. It ain't got anything to do with the Bible or God. It's just a religious world that is trying to keep up, that's trying to keep up with the mindset of ungodliness that prevails in our world.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And I will say this, amen. You watch if your mind gets corrupt, you let your mind get corrupted, amen. It's very, very difficult to maintain a proper relationship with your spouse.
Amen.
Amen. Because strange flesh is mystical in a fantasy world.
Amen.
That the devil paints that you can never fulfill, you can never satisfy it. Hey, are you listening to me? You can never satisfy the desire and lust and perversion of strange flesh in your mind. That's why men rape women. That's why men, amen, molest children. That's why men molest babies. That's why men mutilate them after they have sexually abused them. There is no satisfaction. There is no end to a bent and a warped mentality that the world produces. I can tell you things that prisoners are in prison for and what they've done to 4 and 5 and 6 year old children that would make everybody in this building blush and just about throw up in the floor tonight. But I'm telling you, amen, that you better give Him your life, but that means you're going to give Him your mental life. Are you listening? You want to give God your life? That means you give Him your mental life. When you give Him your physical life, it can involve a lot of things. It can involve how you dress your physical man, where you take your physical man, what you do with your physical man. Are you listening? Everything about your physical makeup. Are you listening tonight? What are you doing with your body? Amen. Brother David said he was on a diet. Thank God. I need to go on a diet. I need to lose some weight. Get in shape. Some of us have abused our bodies. The temple of the Lord. And some of us get on New Year's kicks and everything else, you know. And everybody tell you, you know, buy treadmills and all that stuff is, all that stuff's good for us just to hang your clothes on for the next year from February to December. It's about all that stuff's good for, just stuff to pile stuff on. And I'm not talking about sucking on weeds and eating grass and being some kind of herb fanatic. I'm just talking about trying to be healthy. Hey, man, it's difficult. It's hard. Amen. Especially the older you get, the more you hurt. Amen. It hurts to try to run or walk or do something in an active way. At least it does to me, because I've abused myself in a major way. I was small, and I'm not very big now. Amen. I'm built low to the ground for speed, comfort, and good looks, like Johnny here. Amen. Ain't that right, buddy? The reason why some of you people are so tall, amen, God tried to get your head far away from people so, amen, they could take looking at you. Praise the Lord. I don't know where that come from, amen. Amen, but you'd be in deep trouble, amen, if they could see you up close, I guess. Amen. But I played ball in school. You wouldn't believe the things I'd done. You would not believe the things I'd done. My daddy wouldn't have never bought me no weights. I think they bought me some one Christmas. But I tell you what I done. My daddy had a junkyard, and I found an old stair rail. One of them old stair rails you mount on the side of the wall. They're kind of, Brother Hill, you know, kind of angled like that. You know, you've seen them, that you just buy at Lowe's. I found a piece of one of them things about, I don't know, 6 or 8 foot. I found me some 16-penny nails, and I'm telling the truth, amen. This ain't some illustration, biblical, some evangelistic illustration. And I went down there in the junkyard, and I found me some car wheels that didn't have no tires on them that had fit over that rail. And I took me some 16-penny nails. I drove it in each side so it'd hold them things on there. And I'd be out there in the backyard and the front yard and wherever I could get. I'd be curling them things and lifting them things. I wanted to play football. Amen. And I played. And I was always the smallest guy on the team as far as the position I played, because I wasn't fast enough to be a halfback. I couldn't run fast enough. I figured if you're strong enough, there wasn't no need in running. Amen. When I got old, I just started packing a gun. Amen. So, amen, I still don't have to run. And they tried to put me in the backfield. They said, here, your size, the way you're built, you need to run the ball. I said, man, I don't want to run the ball. I want to be the attacker and not the attackee. Amen. But I played linebacker, and that sounds crazy, but I played linebacker on a 50 defense. Amen. All of my way through junior high and up into high school. Played on 2 all-star teams. And I'm not trying to brag, make you think I'm somebody. I'm just telling you, buddy, I abused my body to do that. I mean, I'd knock myself clean out if that's what it meant to try to knock you out or knock you down. And because of that mentality, I suffer for that today. Oh, that somebody would have told me, boy, if you give your life to God, if you give your strength to the Lord, amen, if you just give your life to God, give your strength to God, God can use you. God can let you serve Him. You can be faithful to the Lord. You can do great things for God. As a young man, son Samuel was a champion for God, and he served the Lord, and he ministered in the tabernacle at 12 years old. Son Daniel stood for God. He loved God, and he served God. Somebody would have told me that with a passion, and I'd have had enough sense to open my eyes up. But He's going to need your mental life if He gets your life. You're going to have to learn to deal with what you think about. You're going to have to understand what it means to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. When a thought comes through your mind, you're going to have to learn to deal with that thought and get it out of your mind. If it means start quoting scripture that you've memorized for Bible quizzing, or that some Sunday school teacher has taught you, or some verse of scripture that the Lord's touched your heart with. If it means thinking about a man of God that's praying for you, or a mom and dad that's praying for you. If it means thinking about the work of the church and the clarity of the mind that you need to have to serve God. Whatever you got to do, you got to captivate the mind. You got to be able to gather the looseness of your thought life up. Gird up the loins of your mind. You are going to have to give Him your thought life. When they bring Isaac's wife to Him, you know what he's doing? What was Isaac doing when they brought him his wife? He was sitting out in the middle of the field. The Bible said he was meditating. Wonder what he's thinking about. I don't know what he's thinking about. What do you think David was thinking about when he's out there by himself keeping his father's sheep? What do you think David's thinking about when he wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want"? What do you think David was thinking about when he wrote, "Oh, I love the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth"? What do you think David was thinking about when he said, "I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness"? What are you thinking about? What's on your mind? What has consumed your thought life tonight? You have to give that to God if you give him your life. He gave you his life. We shout about it. We cry about it. What about you giving him your life? It's the will of God. Are you aware of that tonight?
Amen.
It is the will of God, Miss Amy Dunn, not Miss Amy Dunn. Amen. It's the will of God, Miss Hill, that you give him your life. You give him your life, you'll never have a problem satisfying the needs of your husband and making him, amen, at peace, amen, when he leaves the house. But have you given him your life, your physical life, your mental life? Amen. And I realize there's problems on every hand. We live in a world of emotional stress. And I know that it is more stressful today than it's ever been. And we deal with emotional problems in people's lives that we never heard of years ago. And doctors and psychologists can't figure it out. It's all just one big experiment on people. Are you listening? And I'm not talking about people that have legitimate problems, chemical problems and physical problems. But I'm telling you tonight, that if you give him your life, you give him your mental life. You give him your emotional life. Have you ever gave God your emotional life? That part of you that's happy one day and sad the next and really over nothing. That part of your life that can come to church with vigor and joy and a thirst seemingly to accomplish something for God. You ever heard of motivational speakers? I've heard the best of the best. I've sat with thousands and heard Zig Ziglar speak. Me and my wife has in Dallas, Texas years ago. And I mean, that man, phenomenal. You walk out there broke as a convict and you'd think you'd be a millionaire by morning. He's a motivator. You know what he done? He played with your emotions. They're motivationalists. That's what most coaches are. That's what they're looking for in most coaches today. In the college and the professional realm, they're really not that concerned about somebody that knows anything about ball. The guys that play ball, they wouldn't be professionals if they didn't know how to play. I mean, that you don't have to be smart to figure that out. He's a good coach. What he's talking to you, what he's saying is that man is a good motivator. Because the talent's already there, the skill's already there, the development's already took place. They're looking for somebody that can make you do it. And that's exactly right. Amen. We said in Orlando, Florida years and years ago, 20 some odd years ago, and listened to a man speak that was blind. I don't know if he's blind from birth, but he is blind. And he wrote the book, "If You Could See What I Hear." Played golf. Pitched baseball one time. I don't know how many times he pitched, but he pitched baseball. And I mean, I don't know if he's lying out of his teeth or not, but when he got through talking, he said, "Man, if that blind man can do it, surely to goodness, I got eyeballs, I can." But what that's doing is playing with your emotions. We were instructed this week, and we sat in classrooms and were instructed in some of those instructional classes and workshops dealt with motivating you and trying to give you a fresh new look on teaching and a passion for it. And all that is fine, but I'm telling you, if you'll give God your life, if you will give God your life tonight, it will mean that you give Him your emotional life. And you'll wake up every morning knowing that you're saved and knowing that God has a purpose and a reason for you to be where you're at and who you are and what you're doing, and you won't need a Zoloft pill or a Prozac or whatever it is that picks your day up and gives you a reason to live that day. And again, I'm not talking about people with significant problems. I'm talking about people who cannot and have not given God their life. Amen. I'm preaching the truth to you. Have you given Him your life? I want to ask you, boys, something. Have you, Joshua, have you given Him your life? I'm talking about your body as His. That means He's going to determine who you marry. He's going to determine where you work. He's going to tell you what car to buy. He's going to tell you the kind of clothes you should wear. He's going to tell you where to part your hair and how to do it. Are you going to give Him your life, John? That's what it means, Randy. It means that you give Him this right here. This right here. You give Him that, Travis. You ever seen, stop by the board sometime and look at Brother Ben Andrews and his family in Papua New Guinea serving the Lord. I mean, among a bunch of native people, starting churches everywhere, preaching the gospel. Smiling, happy. He don't have the camaraderie that you have in this church tonight, but he is happy doing the will of God. You know what happened to Ben? I remember being with meetings with Ben, Brother Joe, in camp meeting, and see him shout and worshiping God, and everybody's saying, man, Ben's a little odd, you know, or something, you know. But I'm telling you, buddy, when he found the mind and the will of God, he pursued it, and he has stayed on the field. There's people got up there, I'm going to tell you what, they got every little old disease or whatever and come home and never went back. I'm going to tell you what, Ben Andrews would die in Papua New Guinea. That's exactly what he'd do. He'd lay there and die before he left because he knew that that's what God wanted him to do, and it was the will of God for his life. Are you listening to me? I remember hearing Dean Hanby when he first came in from the Ivory Coast of Africa at a youth meeting, and he preached on sitting at the feet of Jesus, and he didn't have a real boisterous voice. He was weak from a disease that he had attracted there while on the field, and he talked about sitting at the feet of Christ. And I said, where you're sitting, Brother Jim? And I said, it all at a man that would give his life to God and have such of the power of God on his life, because he said, I will give my body to the Lord Jesus. I will give my physical man. I will give my mental man. I will give my emotional state to God. Amen. That is the will of God. It's the will of God. I hear so much Tommy rot and so much talk that's foolish talk and jesting about problems and situations in church and personality conflicts. Nobody likes me. Everybody's this, everybody's that. You would not believe the things I've heard in the last month. I'm going to tell you something. None of that matters when you give your life to God. And it means you give Him your spiritual life. You have a spiritual life. Now, what condition it's in as a saint of God tonight, only you can answer that question, you and God. People don't read their Bible anymore. People don't get along with God and pray. And they have people pray differently. Brother Norris prays in the morning walking. He said, that's what the Lord's allowed me to do and pray. I don't know if you've ever noticed it, but you've been to Brother Johnny Jones's house. And if you'll ever notice, you walk in there, he'll be sitting in that recliner with it leaned back with his feet doing this. You ever notice that? With his eyes closed and his feet back and forth. You ever notice him doing that? You know what he's doing? He's praying. That's where he prays. So, well, that's silly, preacher. That's where Brother Jones prays at. And when he gets here and preaches the week on Baptist history, you tell him he's silly. Brother Jones lets his mind go around the globe and prays for the countries and the continents all around the world and prays for people that he knows serving God. I could call him right now. I could call him right now and say, Brother Jones, and I started to yesterday. I said, Brother Jones, just thinking about you, thought I'd call, check up on you and say, I prayed for you today. He said, I prayed for you today. I called your name in prayer. Asked God to help you. I called him years ago and I didn't really know him and talked to him about a problem. It's probably one of the first times I'd ever talked to him on the phone. I said, well, Brother Jones, I just didn't know how to deal with the situation and I wanted some guidance and wisdom because he knew the problem and knew the situation and I was aware that he knew it. And he said, before we get off the phone, let's pray. He said, Father, he started praying. Having a spiritual life. Having a life that's real within. Do you have one tonight? Do you have a spiritual life? Some of you got children in a mess. You want to see something happen in their life and God to work something out in their situation. But I stand amazed. I stand in awe at the lack of concern spiritually that you have for your own life. You want something done in someone else's life, but you're not right with God.
Amen.
Your spiritual life is not right with God. If you was a tenth as worried about your spiritual life as you are somebody else's, the person across from you, the person that you think ain't tithing, or the person you think ain't the right witness or testimony on the job, or the person you think's a Pharisee, or the person you think ain't right with God, if you was one tenth as concerned about your spiritual life and your walk with God as you are theirs, you could probably help them. But you can't do anything for them, can you?
Right. Right.
Not a thing. Amen. Give him your life. Would you give him your life tonight? It's the will of God. Preacher, I want to know the will of God. When you leave this building tonight, you'll be aware of the will of God for your life. God wants your life. Will you give it to him? Will you give him your life? Then lastly, in this verse, not only did they give of their own selves to the Lord, Paul said, they also gave themselves to us. And they done it by the will of God. Have you ever give yourself to somebody other than your wife or your husband? I'm going to tell you what, independent Baptist people can be some of the most selfish people you'll ever meet in your life. They have a very tunneled vision about living for God. But I tell you what, I can't stand partiality. Now, there's cliques in every church. There's cliques in every family. And you can't, and that's what you call it. But you can't stop people having relationship with other people that have common ground. Now, if I wanted to have a relationship with Brother Steve Henry, all I got to do is get my bow out and call Brother Steve and say, I want to go hunting. You know what he's going to do? He said, let's go. But if I got out my golf clubs and called Brother Steve and said, hey, Brother Steve, we're going to go play golf today, he'd say, yeah, y'all have a good time. That's common ground. That's why I can fellowship with all of you. I can go bowling, go golfing, I can do anything, amen, as far as just enjoying it. I like it. I like it all. I like skating. I like roller skating. And I like ice skating. I like water skiing. I like skiing on one. I like skiing on two. I like it all. I like every bit of it. So you'll be hard-pressed to find something except maybe to go into a hockey game that I'm not going to enjoy. And it's not that I didn't enjoy this. It's just too confusing for me. I mean, it'd been better off if they just all got out there in the middle of the ring and just had an all-out knockout with them sticks and just started beating each other upside the head and fighting. It'd have been a whole lot more exciting. That's what they looks like what the ultimate goal is anyway, or they'd make that goal bigger at the end.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost like they want to fight to try to get there, so just take the goal out and fight and be done with it. Amen. But if you're going to be friendly, you got to show yourself friendly. Or if you're going to have friends, you're going to have to show yourself friendly. Amen. And if you're thinking, and I'm just not the slobbering kind, you know, that, you know, just wallering all over, you know, all that's fake, that Christmas mentality. You know, when you go to the family, man, we love you and we've missed you for, I mean, if they missed you that much, they'd have come and seen you Thanksgiving. That's fake. That's all fake, Miss Brooks. It's a show. I mean, that's fine, but I can't deal with that. All that flattery and all that fake stuff, it just drives me crazy. But if you ever give yourself to someone, I'm talking about these ladies getting up in the morning and giving themselves to these children. There'll come a day, Brother Keith, that there'll be ladies in this church right here that will get up early and drive here, and they will give themselves to that little girl right there.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
They're going to give themselves to her in the will of God. This is what God has designed and chose for my life, and I'm going to give myself to her. You ever done that, boys? Give yourself to someone. I mean, somebody in this school, I don't know, you know each other better than the adults do. Somebody may be hurting. And they may not be your bosom pal. They may not be somebody that you may have common ground with, but they may have a problem. I'm talking about giving yourself to them. Sitting down and saying, man, I love you. And I want to see you serve God. There's not a young man that's left this church that's communicated to me that I hadn't told him. I said, I will do whatever I have to do. Anything within my power that would not violate my convictions, I will do whatever I have to do to see you serve the Lord. What can I do? I told a young man the other day, I said, tell me what I can do. Tell me what I can do to help you. Tell me what I can do to see you right with God. I'm going to tell you what, the congregation, the people of God's the greatest people on the earth. And if you alienate yourself from them, you got a real problem spiritually. You distance yourself from the people of God, friend. And you can be here, as Brother Josh testified the other night, you can be here and your heart and your life can be miles away. But I'm going to tell you something. There's not a church in America that will rally together like this church will to help you if you're in trouble. And give you every opportunity that you can ever imagine to serve the Lord. That's a fact. The question is, have you give yourself to others? That's the will of God. I could preach on, and I thought about going this route with it, but I don't have time. I could preach on provoking one another, praying for one another. I could preach on pleasing one another. Have you ever tried to do something just to please somebody else in the house of God? I'm going to tell you what, you won't be around here long until the devil will try his best to drive a wedge between you and the man of God. If you're serious about serving the Lord, there'll be something that I'll do that you won't like. There'll be a decision that I make that you'll be critical of. And you may have every right and every justified means to be critical. Because you may not believe this, but it's possible for me to be wrong. Because I have failed people. I have failed people miserably in my life. I have. As a pastor, I have failed miserably in more ways than you could ever imagine. But I have a desire to serve the Lord and serve this church. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're not careful, you will let the devil and things that don't mean anything and that have an explanation and could be resolved create friction and problems between you and other people in this church. And it hinder the body from serving God and hinder you from having peace and contentment in your own life. You're looking at one man that's not going to live his life that way. If you lie to me, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to come and see you and say, Brother Bill, I feel like that you have lied to me, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to explain what happened. And then I'm going to forgive you if you're repentant. If you're not repentant, I can't forgive you, because the only way I can forgive you is forgive you as God for Christ's sake forgave us. And the only way God for Christ's sake forgives a sinner is if he repents. I'm not going to hold a grudge against you, but I can't forgive you if you don't repent. Well, I'd just forgive them anyway. It's impossible to do that. You can't do it. It's impossible. There's something there that hadn't been dealt with. That's why the process of Matthew 18 is in the Bible. You go to him and to him alone. You take somebody with you if that doesn't resolve the situation. And then you bring it before the church and you count him as a heathen and a publican man. Because you can't just go up to him and say, well, I forgive you. I know you're not right with God and you're not going to ask me to forgive you. You don't think that you've done what you said you did, but I'm going to forgive you anyway. In spite of it all, I forgive you. It don't work that way, Willie. It's impossible. The church don't operate that way. God don't operate that way. Years and years ago, Brother Herb and Miss Janet would show up at the house with a bag of groceries. And I didn't need any groceries, really. But they'd show up with stuff. I mean steaks and just a bag of food. And I mean, we'd say, thanks, we appreciate it, praise the Lord. Y'all sit down, we'll have supper together, we'll eat some of this stuff, you know. It wouldn't be a week or so again passed by, here he'd show up, Brother Mark, another bag of groceries. And time just passed on, and every now and then he'd do that, and then it just stopped. Well, I never thought nothing about it. But he come up to me, Brother Keith, and he said, I'm telling you, he said, the devil tried his best to come between me and you. And I don't even remember all the situations or what happened or what was going on that created that atmosphere. And he said, that's the only way that I could get him off my back. Amen. I almost wish he'd get mad at me again. Amen. If I could make him mad, I'd think of something to say to him, amen, to make him mad. Go home and repent and eat good for a month, amen. 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 The devil will wreck you if you're not careful. And he'll wreck your relationship with the people of God. Now, I've not altered anything I've said tonight because of any situation in this building. I'm preaching where I'm supposed to be preaching at tonight. I've been in this series for weeks. And I'm going to tell you what, you give your life to God, you give your life to others, and you will be in the will of God. And the devil will have a hard time messing with you. But you got to understand, when you say, I want to give my life to God, that means that body's going with it. That body's going with it. And there's where most people have a real problem. Because they want to take their body everywhere else. They just want serving God to be all inward and not outward. But God's not interested in that. He's interested in your inward man. But he said, I beseech you, I beg you, Paul said, by the mercies of God, present your body a living sacrifice.